San Juan over, and a continuation of the visit with Shirley and Miss Guthrie this Tuesday, the noon, the 4th, 72. San Juan over, and a continuation of this remarkable visit with Shirley and Miss Guthrie this Tuesday at noon, the 4th of January, 72. Channel 1 over, and a continuation of the remarkable visit with Shirley and Miss Guthrie this Tuesday at noon, the 4th of January, 72. Channel 1 over, and a continuation of the visit with Shirley and Miss Guthrie this Tuesday at noon, the 4th of January, 72. Channel 1 over, and a continuation of the visit with Shirley and Miss Guthrie this Tuesday at noon, the 4th of January, 72.
Wallboard. Oh. Alrighty, well, we'll take off and drive you on over.
Right now. Those figures you were talking about. Yeah, those figures with the inscriptions on them. You said that made them laugh.
Oh, yeah.
I remember seeing them in Chestnut and in Grant's.
I think it was Grant's, and I happened to see these.
Yeah. that was so fun.
Oh.
And what was that one that the bluebird said?
That he looks up at this tree, and it looks like it's, you've seen these spooky-looking ghost trees in the middle of wintertime with no leaves or anything on. They look dead. And he turns around, and he looks up into the tree, and he says, well, go ahead, you might as well, everybody else does.
Yeah,
you know, that's a little bluebird sitting up in the tree.
Yeah.
I thought Mike was gonna wet his britches. I'm telling you, I never heard all of the store. You could hear him.
He
was quiet
store.
In the dime store in public. You see, he's going up and down these aisles while I'm getting souvenirs for the kids. This happened while I was getting ready to come back from New York.
Mm-hmm.
I went in to get the kids into the dime store to get some souvenirs to bring back to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to make up my mind what I wanted to get each one of them. And it was taking a little bit of time. And Mike didn't have that little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a bunch of kids with him. And he was ready to pull his hair out. So he's a great big fella. See? So he's waddling up and down these aisles, you know, just trying to pacify the kids. So I'm trying to find what I can find, and all of a sudden I hear Mike back in the back of the store. Oh, you know, he's just roaring. And I go back there, here he's laughing so hard, he's got tears going, and a big strapping guy like this, he's got tears running down his back. And he was ready to roll on the floor, he was laughing so hard. And I said, Mike, what in the world's wrong with you? And he, for a few minutes, he couldn't even talk. And then finally he pointed over to the statue. And I had read some of them before, but never paid that much attention to it.
Yeah.
Especially this little guy that says, I love you this much, you know, and he looks so sad, and he's looking up, you know. That one really caught my eye.
Uh-huh.
And I was going to get one of these for Berman. And I never got around to it. So Mike, who was over there laughing about this one, said, about this guy that looks up in the tree, and he says to the bird, he says, well, you might as well, everybody else, go ahead, you might as well, everybody else does. And I thought that guy was gonna bust. Oh, I bought that thing for him later. He was he was back in the, he went back into the other part of the store with the kids, and he was still laughing. He was still walking off laughing.
You bought another.
I slipped around and I bought that one.
Yeah.
And,
well, it looks heavy. Then Berman tried that out himself down there.
No, you mean the one we bought for Chet?
Yeah.
In Grants, here in Gainesville. I went into Grants. I was looking for one. One that said, I love you this much, you know, to give from Tommy to Chet, because Tommy thinks so much of Chet, or Chet thinks so much of Tommy. And I couldn't find one, and Berman reached over and he picked up this one that says, improve your mental capacity, think sex. That's what was on there.
Improve your mental capacity.
Think sex. So that's what it said on there. And I thought he was going to die laughing at that thing. So he picked it up and we bought it for Chet and we gave it to him. And that guy died laughing when he unwrapped this thing. Great. And then down at the New Year's party, he had to bring that darn thing up and he mentioned that statue and told him what it said on there. And they're so highfalutin', I mean, down at
McFarland's.
Yeah, down there. You know him?
Mm-hmm.
Down there at the creek. You know, everything is white tie and tails down there. You go down there, so if you ever go down, you'll go down prepared.
Oh, it is.
I'm very uncomfortable in a place like that. I'm me, and I'll never be anybody else. But for that evening, I had to try to be. So here comes Berman with this story about this little statue and what it said. I thought I was going to die. I looked for a hole any place to crawl in. I felt that high.
Yeah.
They didn't lie?
No, not a soul. It just had the most sober look on their face, you know? And right after that, everybody started excusing themselves and leaving. I'm going to kill that guy. Oh, Lord.
Well, how did you get tied up with those people?
I don't know.
McFarland.
They're out of
now,
my class.
Where did they live?
Well, you know David and Fran Colonia that used to live at the creek that we corresponded with so much because
no.
of their kids and our kids being about the same age.
No.
I got to know her.
Is that the man you was telling me that had the back?
That's right. It's her father. Fran's father. Fran Colonia.
Well, who is
Is her daughter. Is their daughter. They're from Canada.
Yeah.
And they come two women to my house from Orange Park. Oh. One of them was Kent's sister.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And the other one was from, well, that was his wife, this man, what's his name now, that bought all that land and had it cleared. What's their name?
Oh. They're from New York too, but they don't live anywhere around here, do they?
No, they live at the husbands. I understand stays at the creek. They come to buy some land from us.
Who that would be?
The man that did all that clearing down there.
Oh, I know who you mean. I don't remember the name. Oh yes.
One of them was Kent's sister, Al Kent.
Mm. Was it Weaver that cleared down there?
No. I mean down there at the creek. You know the man bought that property down there and had it all cleared?
Over on the left of the road.
Mm-hmm.
I never been back
and
there.
And built a home back there.
Oh, Arnold.
Arnold.
Mrs. Arnold.
Takes me a while to catch on, but I got it.
You get that?
They're putting all kinds of trailers back in there. Really developing that up in there.
Oh, really? Shirley, what happened to your old cattleman, your neighbor there? Old Doofunny. I never saw him.
Who you mean, Billy?
Billy Hughes.
Oh.
When did you see him?
Last time I saw him, he was going back to feed two bales of hay to about 50 cows. And that got me. It still gets the poor cows.
Well, I thought he fed salt meat.
Well, he went back there with two bales of hay. I don't know what he intended to do with it other than to feed his cows this back. And I know there's at least 50 heads that stayed
down
there. Oh,
he's a big shot, you know, he bought.
He might have been using it for bait to catch one or two of them.
A big place at Campville, and Mr. Joe Weaver has been over there working.
Oh, yes.
And I asked Mr. Weaver some time ago about, I wanted him to start up there at my pasture gate and go all the way around and push me out of the fire line, and he said he'd sure do it just as soon as he got time. But he still was working for Billy Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
He was over at the house Christmas Eve night to see us. We was in bed, and he hollered at the door, and Marvin went.
Well, you had visitors Christmas Eve.
Yes,
but they had gone.
Been a while with us.
Shirley, let me see. His old cows, they don't pay a bit of attention to a fence. That old cow.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. When they get a notion.
Now, don't you start cooking, because we got to go.
I'm going to let you go in 30 minutes.
Well, they might need to go, Faye.
We sure do.
Yeah,
don't start.
Don't, Faye.
Because I got to go. I got to be in Hong Kong.
We appreciate
before,
that,
too.
But we'll do it another time.
What?
She wants to go up to Hawthorne, and I really ought to get something done over there, because
yeah.
If I don't, I'll have to a divorce procedure going to Gainesville.
Shelly, before you all go, tell me a little bit about Billy Hughes and that cow that just walked over your fence.
Well, you know, that cow hasn't been back lately. Now, when I start putting the cows over into the rye, that cow will jump the fence to come over there where the other cows are into the rye.
Yes.
You don't.
And I'll have some
I
time to
bag
try to come out.
It sure does look like it.
Yes. What are you going to do?
It'll be interesting to see what she has.
Yeah, she'll have a monkey.
Well, it looks like it's springing.
I just wonder. I hope she'll be all right when she does have it.
I do too. I hope she can have a calf, and it'll be a little rat.
She'll probably have the biggest strapping calf you ever saw. And here our cows are, big as elephants there, and can't drop a calf without having trouble.
Yeah.
And her little old dwarf
yeah.
probably have a big old fine, nice calf.
You just don't know. How did Marvin ever find that stove, cooking stove over there? Don't you know where he borrowed the eyes to see if they'd work?
Oh, Pat was hunting over there and told him about it. He was over there in an old house. They won't work. It's not big enough for my stove.
But now that's way over there.
Mm-hmm. They're over there near the roast shelf.
Mr. McFarland had one shipped down here from Canada. An old stove that he had to use as part of his furnishings for this Southern style home that he has built down here. You know what the Rollins house looked like?
Yeah.
Well, they built a house just like it.
Yeah.
You know what, Miss Don? They tell me they're fixing to change Cross Creek's name. They're going to have a meeting the 18th of this month.
Who, Billy Dyson again?
I don't know who's giving it, but anyway, Mrs. Kent, I called Mrs. Kent and asked Mrs. Kent about it. About changing, I heard they were going to change the name of Cross Creek to Carson.
Oh, shoot.
And she says they're going to have a meeting the 18th and said for us all to be sure and go.
Well, I'm going to go. That's one meeting I'm going to go to.
And I told her, I said, I don't care whose feelings it hurts, nothing about it. I think they ought to leave it Cross Creek, because Mr. Carson did not build up Cross Creek. You know who done that?
Mm-hmm.
What is his name? The first man that come down there just side the creek and started selling lots.
I can't think of his name.
Now, she would know who settled your place over there. Paulin.
The Paulins.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew the Paulins.
But they weren't there. They weren't the first ones there.
How far? They go way back?
Yeah.
They go back quite a way.
Or they just one among many families over there.
They just one among many. Where is that cemetery over there where you live?
That's what I want to know.
Marvin says it's inside the field.
What?
Yeah. I tell you what, you can go and look on the map in the courthouse and it'll show.
I didn't want to do that. I've been wondering if it... I think Berman did try to look up some information and couldn't find it. No, he did. He tried to look up information and he couldn't find it within our boundaries. It had to have been out there on the other side of the oak somewhere.
Oh.
Well, it might have been. Now, I heard that it was inside the field, and then I heard it was off on that hill, you know, where they dug that pit? Where?
Yeah.
Up in there somewhere. Where,
I wonder if it has anything to do with that sinkhole back.
You got that sand.
Still on your land?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's on our land.
Do you know what those pillows are? I never asked you, I don't think, or have I? Those cement pillows, they're hand-held, they're set down in the ground, and they have a steel thing like coming
out
of the ground.
Yeah, that's a landmark of some kind.
Yeah, that's what I want to know. What is...
I don't know.
But there's several of them.
Where is it at?
There's, I guess there must be 8 in a row. There's so many feet apart. Like right here's one, 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 like this, right around the square, all the way within the square, you see?
Oh.
Where's that one, Don?
You know where the milk cow's field is there?
Yeah.
You know where the barn is? It's directly behind that fence, there where the milk cow's field is.
I wouldn't know, but now from what I can understand what Marvin says, that's where in there somewhere is where the old cemetery was.
I wonder if those are cemetery lots or something. That's where they marked them or something.
I wouldn't know.
Or where a tombstone might have been, and they might have. Wonder if that's it.
I don't know. I don't know. All I know, I just heard there's a cemetery over there.
And too, there's old vases and old jars.
I bet you that's what it
that
is.
I bet it is.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's more like it. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. That could be the...
I step on somebody's grave. Oh, me.
But you just wonder why those little pieces of concrete there was...
Something was moved
setting.
Off of that.
Yeah.
Something was moved off of each of these...
Yeah.
But it's in a perfect square, like somebody's going to erect some kind of a building there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's inside of your field.
It's on our property, but it's just over the fence from where the milk cow is. You can't drive a tractor across in through there, because you'd ruin a tractor, it'd puncture one of the tires. The steel is sticking up out of the cement. The cement's almost level with the ground.
I wouldn't know.
Dig the dirt away from around the cement...
Sure don't know.
I think it sticks up about this much so you can see the top of the cement from the ground.
Oh, yeah.
And then right in the center
Sometime
of the hand-hold cement...
Sometime I want you to
cement,
go over there
see.
With me and let me see it, and I'll ask Marvin. And of course, Marvin's not that old and all, but maybe...
Well, you know more
he's
about it.
He's been all over this country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know that place when I... come to this country. There's an old fella, old timey man, his beard was down to there. And his daughter lived there, Miss Sally.
Mm-hmm.
A two-story building, and she raised turkeys.
Hmm.
That's when you came.
Mm-hmm. She raised turkeys. They lived there for years, and then they moved to Hawthorne. And they both died in Hawthorne.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mr. Ernest Paulin, this old man's son, on the place here in right around here somewhere. And he lost it. And he moved back over there.
And that's the old man's son?
That's right, Ernest Paulin.
Hmm. was Mrs. Middleton, wife of the mayor in Hawthorne, of Holland?
Uh-uh.
What was she?
She was a Hammonds.
Her mother. She related there?
Her mother and Ernest Paulin was brothers and sisters.
Oh. Well, that's the way it was. Well, she.
What was Mrs. Beckham? What was her maiden name?
That lived over there?
One of the old families, Beckhams, over in Hawthorne. They used to live. She used to live there as a child around the Paulin place.
I don't know.
On the Paulin place. Her and Mrs. Middleton both. They're both school teachers over at Hawthorne.
I don't know if any Beckhams had ever lived there. Except one Beckham. Yeah, I do remember Miss Beckham that lived there.
I can't remember. Ella? Is it Helen? Ellen?
Something like that. She was a nice lady. But this year couldn't be her teaching school. It might have been.
She's old as the hills, I know that.
Well, it could be her then.
Her and Mrs. Middleton both are quite elderly. But they're good teachers. Mrs. Middleton is the best.
Well, that still would enable her to know all about the families over there.
Yeah. She said she knew quite a bit about the place and she wanted to come out and visit.
And
I invited her out.
The Hammond? Well, that was her grandfather's place. Were you living?
Oh, it was.
No, let me see.
Did the Hammonds ever live there?
Mr. Paulin. Her mother
was a Hammond.
No, was
no,
a Paulin,
was Paulin
and married a Hammond.
And who was there before the Paulin?
I don't know.
Yes, yeah.
I wouldn't know.
Well, now, how long did the Paulins live there after you got here?
Oh, several years.
But the old man with the long
beard. That's right.
He didn't last too long.
Oh, he lasted a good while, yeah. And they had an old Dodge touring car.
What possessed them to sell out there?
They just both got so old till they couldn't stay
farm.
Out there, and they moved to Hawthorne.
Yeah, and then their son took it over, Everett.
Ernest. He lived here, and he had a highfalutin wife. She had a car, and if you was with a horse and buggy, and you didn't get out of the way, she'd run over you.
I've seen people like that.
She was. No, absolutely. She was a highfaluter. And she got this place here, and they lost it. Couldn't pay taxes on it. And they moved back over there, and they didn't have nothing to eat. And I give them sweet potatoes by the bushels and give them syrup. And I don't know how much meat to help them out. And they burnt kerosene lamps. And then when she forgot all about that when she left here, they left there, and Ernest Paulin tried to sell that place that you all owned to Mr. Guthrie for $1,000.
Good Lord!
Could you? You wouldn't believe that, would you?
No.
Yeah. Sure did. But $1,000 was more than
$1,000. Yeah.
Yeah.
He tried to sell it to Mr. Guthrie for $1,000. Ernest Paulin did.
So he could leave.
Yeah, he had to leave.
Couldn't make a living.
Couldn't make a living. He didn't try.
Well, I hope the place isn't jinxed.
So they, he didn't never try. He didn't ever work. And you know, between where you live and Garrison Hammock down there?
Yeah.
Well, I can show you where he used to have an orange grove.
And we can't grow an orange tree.
He had a big orange grove between where you live and Garrison Hammock down on the left.
Now, who bought the place from Paulin? Wasn't Dr. Evans. Somebody owned it before him.
Wait now, let me. Johnson from
Johnson,
Hawthorne.
That's right. So that's the name that's on the
Frank Johnson
on the abstract.
Frank Johnson.
Oh.
And Dick Wilson farmed it?
Yeah, I'm over there.
And I'm telling you, he made the stuff.
Oh, did he?
He did he? I mean, he made them.
That guy could grow.
He could grow
top of a house.
Anything.
Yeah. And Johnson owned the place, and he farmed it.
Yes, sir. He rented the land or worked it on shares or something. And he had some people from Georgia that lived up there. And when Marvin and I was hauling pulp, this man was working down at the pulp place, and he asked Marvin, he said, "Don't I know you?" And Marvin said, "I don't know you, Mike." And he told him, he said, "I used to live on the pulp place." And he told Marvin, and I seen him and talked to him down there. We went after a load of pulp. And they were going to come up to see us, but they never did. If they did, we weren't home or something.
Well, that couldn't have owned it too long.
Johnson.
No, he didn't. He didn't own it too long.
Because everybody still refers to the place as the old Pauling place.
Mm-hmm.
They never.
Well, that's just the same as the Denham place. Everybody refers to that as it never will go in the name of Guthrie or anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
It'll always be the Denham
old
place.
The old homesteaders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's right.
I don't know.
But now the oldest one you know was the
Grandpa.
Grandpa.
Foul Pollen.
Foul
Pollen.
That's an unusual name.
Foul.
F-A-L-L.
No, F-A-L, I reckon.
Yeah.
Foul Pollen.
And he and Miss Aunt Susie?
Do we?
Aunt Susie?
Sally.
Aunt Sally.
Uh-huh.
She raised turkeys.
She sure did. She raised turkeys. That place had flocks and flocks of turkeys.
Well, look, that's a good-sized place.
Mm-hmm.
So, if he wasn't in pretty good shape,
Well, I think that he drawed some kind of a pension from the government. I think he was no veteran. He wasn't able to work when I knew him, you know, like. But right over in front of your place, there was a good house. I can show you where it was. Noel Aunt Martha Mickens lived there. And those darkies looked out for the Pollens and they farmed.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, they helped them farm.
Is that where the slave houses were one time?
Well, it wasn't no. I don't know about the slaves.
Well, there was hand hoed Dr. Evans. When we moved there, there was a hand hoed pillows that went up under the old house. The two story house was there. Two three story house was standing. Well, these pillows were still there, and we went to move them one day. And Dr. Evans drove up. This was after we bought the place, and he came up there to see what we were doing with it. And we asked him what they were doing there. And he said those were hand-hewed. Hewed, is that it? Well, hand-hewed. Berman says hoed, I say hoed.
They
the way they chop them, you know.
Mouth.
That's the way I figured it.
Oh,
hoed.
Oh.
But anyhow, hand-hewed. Dr. Evans says that they were put there by the Negro slaves that lived on the place.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And he pointed out in several directions in the place where there were slave houses that they lived in, and that was of the old plantation place right there where the old homestead was.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, well, I've heard that the old settlers had slaves, and you know, I seen one old slave Negro woman, old Aunt Carrie, somebody. And she lived across her highway, right off in the woods from where Julia's house is.
Yeah, that's a place where our old homestead used to be. But
old log cabin, she lived there. And old Uncle Tom Nathan, he was one of them, and he died there. And he was sick, and Mr. Guthrie used to take milk and I'd cook soup, and he'd go there and raise the old darky up and try to get him to drink milk, but he was so far gone. And there was a church house, a colored church house, right off in front of where Julia lives. And every time a darky died, it didn't make no difference if it was what time of night it was, that church bell had told.
Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
And you've heard that.
Yeah. I've been there to the colored church. We used to go there some Sunday nights and to the colored preaching.
Mm-hmm.
We'd always sit in the back, you know.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love
you. Mrs. Dodd, you know where Julia's house is?
Yeah.
Well, there used to be a railroad between where Julia lives and where we live, and there used to be a train that run there. Now, would you believe that?
Mm-mm.
That's the truth.
Going which way? Toward the creek?
I don't know, north and south,
it?
I
yeah,
think.
It,
it wasn't a passenger train. It was a work train. It was a log train.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a train. I seen the track. I seen the old cross ties. And Morris Guthrie has rode on the thing.
Well, I do know.
Now, who would believe that? But that's the truth.
And that's in your time.
No, no. No, I don't know nothing about that.
You never saw it?
I
saw the evidence.
No, I saw the evidence of it.
You've seen the track.
Well, that means a lot of timber has been taken out of there, then, doesn't it?
That means a lot of timber took out. I don't know.
I don't know why they didn't take themselves.
I have a knotty that Pfeiffer Company.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but
that's
I don't know.
I'll bet so. Yeah. Why they didn't help themselves to all them oaks over there, Elk Grove there.
Well, them days they didn't cut oaks. They didn't know nothing about using
If they were there now, they'd sure have some timber to haul.
But I've heard Morris talk about that old train and Mr. Guthrie. And a lot of people talk about it. I never did see it. It had been done away with years.
Mm-hmm.
But I did see the sign. I seen the old cross ties and the spikes and all. There's been a lot of change. And all that used to be wide open woods.
Wide open woods.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you could see through the woods.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that now, I've never seen that sort of woods. Not since I've been down here, of course. It's not very long.
Sure did.
Because the cattle would keep it down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it used to be that way, like.
And
that.
It was big timber, and it was turpentine, and
yeah.
The woods was burnt.
Yeah.
Mhm.
Yeah, and then big trees didn't hurt them.
No, it didn't hurt the vine trees. That's the way they preserved their.
Yeah.
You see, they had a crew, and they went around and raked around them vine trees, and they burnt every year. And that kept down the undergrowth, you know, and the woods was wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And those pine trees seem to do a lot better if they're,
mm-hmm.
they're burnt.
They do.
Owens in Illinois still burns every year. They burn those trees every year in patches.
Yeah.
They usually get pretty close, you know, the trees just opposite us. South of us. Past those oak trees there. And they'll burn, they'll try to catch the wind when it's blowing the opposite direction, but a lot of times the sparks will end up in our yard, you know.
You know,
yeah.
1 o'clock?
She was telling about, George Borknight the other night, she and Marvin. Now they were spry in those days.
Oh yeah.
But now Shirley was saying last time I saw her that it's not like that now. They're sort of hard pressed. George eats
and sleeps, right?
And Virgil too.
Yeah.
But year round.
Yeah. And Ms. And when he eats, he won't talk.
He didn't the other night. Usually he'd say, yup. Yup. And he'd keep on eating. But he didn't even speak to Burma when he walked in there the other night.
Who was that?
George Boatner.
Where was he at?
He was at the table eating.
Your table?
No, his table. He went into Mrs. Boatner's to get Bonnie and help her get her things together. She had spent the day with Tina. We were just getting back from Orlando. It was just after dark, so he stepped in, you know, while she was getting her things together. John Henry spoke, but George never did stop eating. All he could do is just bend over and just shovel it in. Maybe he take a Lloyd.
And Ms. Bognight, she just cooks for them men.
Yeah, that's one woman. I don't know what keeps her in the kitchen over there. She's never sick a day in her life, and all she does is cook for George Henry and George. John Henry and George and Virgil, Don and his family half the time, and Faye and her family half the time. All I don't know. I just don't know what keeps that woman going.
And
she never says very much, does she?
Louise is a good
well,
woman.
Well, she knows you more than she does me. She probably has more of a conversation with you than... And she does. She'll speak and say hello. And
she
call
used
you,
to come see me, but she don't anymore.
She don't go anywhere. She
yes.
never gets off the place. She's forever either cooking or she's out there baking lines. I don't know how she does it.
Well, now you see, things have changed that much.
Yeah.
Now you see it.
People's changed. The scenery's changed. Everything's
yeah.
changed.
She and Margaret were talking the other night about them, and they were just having a hilarious time riding Model T or something out of the woods over there,
yeah.
you see, without any lights on it. And now look at them, you see, they're sort of...
B.S. He wanted to come out to the house and spend the weekend, so last Friday we had to go to town and had to go to Hawthorne and get money and go get my trailer. And he was there, and I said, let's carry him with us. And Marvin said, okay. I said, B.F., come on to Gainesville with us. He used to live out there in the fall.
B.F. who?
Kelly. And so he was happy to go, you know. And he got to talking about, he said, you know, he said, used to, he said, when I went, he used to go with Francis Bartlett. And said, I'd go up there, said, the first thing you do, let's go to Miss Guthrie's. He said, we'd go to Miss Guthrie's. And she comes down here to see them, and she don't never stop by to even say hello or nothing. He said that was strange. He said how people would do. He said that her and Annie would always say, let's go to Miss Guthrie's.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd come to my house. And we used to pull off our shoes. I used to pull off my shoes at night and walk to Little Hamilton back with them.
Oh, my gosh. I wouldn't do that now.
I wouldn't either, but I did then.
Oh, pull off your shoes.
I'd pull off my shoes and go down there with them young people, walk to Garrison Hamilton back at night.
Yeah, but ain't crickets. I wouldn't do that now. In the daytime, go barefoot.
I used to go frog hunting at night.
Well, you know, speaking about change, the change of everything, Berman and I went down there Saturday to Orlando, the first time we'd been there in about a year because of the car. I guess we'd ended up down there between before now. And Daddy passed away, Auntie passed away, my aunt, great aunt.
Look at him.
Yeah. I know, he's been back 2-3 times.
He's the prettiest thing I could. If you was to catch him, he'd bite your finger off.
Oh, don't you know he would.
And the old homestead where I grew up, there'd been a fire through there. The old homestead was all burned down. Everything had changed. You know, I was in tears when I left that place. Everything had changed, though.
Yeah.
More or less than
last
year.
Look on this end and look on that end.
See his back there now? See the color?
Isn't he pretty? Look at this end and look at that end.
Yeah.
What's he eating?
Yeah.
Well, this is my Christmas present.
What's that?
We just had a time.
Well, if we could just have stayed and had our steak.
Yeah.
We're going to have to make another day.
Well, I'll tell you what, Craig.
There's just too much going on.
Oh, I have this book, and I want to thank you.
Oh, just, I got several of the same one.
Oh, really? Okay, well, I just want to be sure. And he's going out here.
See, it don't help for you, Shirley.
John went over, and a continuation, end of the visit with Shirley and Ms. Guthrie this Tuesday at noon, the 4th of January, 72. Channel 2 over, around 600. And the end of the remarkable visit with Shirley and Ms. Guthrie this Tuesday at noon, the 4th of January, 72. Channel 1 over, around 600. And the end of this remarkable visit with Shirley and Ms. Guthrie about noon, Tuesday, the 4th of January, 72.
Yeah.